This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Do the changing seasons take a toll on your mood? Are you subject to seasonal affective disorder? 807 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA. Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joined this morning by Michaela Sanchez, Marketing Public Relations Director at North Range Behavioral Health. Hey, Michaela.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. It's good to reconnect with you.
Yes, yes. It's always great to chat with you.
So let's talk a little bit about seasonal affective disorder, also known by the acronym SAD. What exactly is it?
Well, it's actually a physical reaction to the amount of light that we are being exposed to throughout the day and the quality of light that we're getting. It doesn't affect everybody, but it is something that is a physical reaction to our environment.
You know, I wish we would stop with all the shenanigans, the biannual time-honored tradition of, flipping the clocks back and forth, because my producer, Ryan Kelly, and I were talking about that. And we're still, I'm waking up almost every hour looking at the clock going, did I change that clock? I'm pretty sure I did. No. It's hooked into the atomic clock, so I'm good. But
right.
It just throws us off, doesn't it?
It really does. And with SAD, with seasonal affective disorder, we're talking about something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things in our winter, fall season that can affect our mood and how we're interacting with our world. So we often hear, that the time change is really affecting us. That can be related to, our circadian rhythm and a lot of our routines that kind of throw us off. We also hear about holiday blues, right, around this time of year. So those are often related to the loss of a loved one or navigating changes in relationships or traditions or feeling isolated. But when people mention that fall or winter is always a hard time of year for me, this may be a clue that there's another component of depression at work. And that depression could be seasonal affective disorder. It's related to the changes in the seasons, not so much when we're waking up or going to sleep, but more of the changes in the seasons, and it begins and ends consistently around the same time each year.
So what are some of the symptoms of seasonal affective disorder?
Well, some of the symptoms, that's one of those things where it's really important for us not to self-diagnose, right?
Right.
Because the symptoms
stay off
of seasonal...
the internet.
Yes. Come to us. The symptoms of seasonal affective disorder are like all other symptoms that are related to some mood disorders, right? So you have sadness, you can have anxiety, you can have cravings, right? And some weight gain, you can have extreme fatigue, lack of energy, inability to concentrate, like some fog brain. Now you're hearing these symptoms, and that is how we're all kind of feeling right now, right? We have a lot of pressures on us. We've got a lot that we're working through.
And well, not to mention all the stress and anxiety of the past 18 months that kind of, blew our routines to smithereens.
That's what I'm talking about. And so when we have these as potential symptoms for seasonal affective disorder, that's why it's important to go in and talk with somebody about this, because we may be misdiagnosing ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that is a primary screening question that I learned is for seasonal affective disorder is, do you feel starved for sunshine in the fall or winter?
Mm-hmm.
So those who are experiencing seasonal affective disorder, they will answer that with a definitive yes. It's not, sometimes, or I don't know, let me think about it. It's, yep, I do feel starved for sunshine, and it's always been that way. So our clinician, Dan France, he shared with us a story when we were interviewing with the Tribune that I thought was really interesting. He said there was a car salesman that he had as a client. And the car salesman was living with seasonal affective disorder. And when he was asked the screening question, he shared that in the winter when he was working those long hours at the car dealership, he would go outside in the evening and he would literally bask in the shining light of the car's headlights as they passed by. He was craving it, mm-hmm. right? It's something that is almost uncontrollable. They need to have that. So it's a biological need that's not being filled.
You know, it's funny. I was, this is one way that I kind of cast off some of the stress, and everybody has their own unique, techniques, to do just that, or, you know, mm-hmm. things that just kind of divert them away from everything that's going on. So I listen to the Comedy Channel. I listen to Jeff and Larry's Comedy Channel mm-hmm. on XM, and I can, you know, as I'm traveling back and forth, I can listen in my car. Well, there was this comedian on, and just so, timely. I'll give you the shorthand version of it. But yesterday, talking about self-diagnosing, and he was talking about the fact that he's in this phase of life, you know, getting a little bit up there. People say, "How you doing?" And he says, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm doing fine." And then he thinks, "No, I'm not being totally honest," because he said, "I don't really feel all that well most days, most times this year." And what he does is, you know, he's like, "So I got this weird rash on my elbow." So I go online and I pull up WebMD, and WebMD says, "Well, you know, it just could be skin irritation or it could be cancer." He says, right. "Then I have a runny nose." And so I go to WebMD and I look up having a runny nose, and it could be, well, just a simple garden variety cold, or it could be nose cancer. He says, right. "Why don't they just say everything could be cancer on WebMD?" But again,
and
it
that's
goes
kind of one of those things here, right? Is
yeah.
that we, you know, when you look at those symptoms that we were talking about, you can have maybe some agitation and restlessness, or some anxiety, or irritation, trouble sleeping. A lot of those things can be so many things. One of the things that was really intriguing to me that Dan had talked about in our previous interview is he talked about why this happens. So it was really interesting when you think about like the winter solstice and the summer solstice. Okay. In the summer, June 21st is the summer solstice, and the sun is at its highest peak. And it also is in the sun or the sky the longest, right? The sun is in the sky the longest. Now you flip that over to the winter solstice, and the sun, the axis of the sun is at its lowest on December 21st, and the time that the sun is in the sky is the shortest, and those coincide with when people start feeling symptomatic for seasonal affective disorder. And so he also mentioned that in the winter, the atmosphere starts to change. So not only is it the time that the sun is in the sky, but it's also the quality of light that we're getting, because the atmosphere is changing, and so the light is filtered more, and the spectrum of therapeutic light that you're getting is decreased. Mm-hmm. So it affects all of these things, and one of the things that can happen, though, is when we self-diagnose, one of the treatments that you can use to help with SAD is light therapy. So it seems really simple, right? Go out and get a light therapy box. And follow the instructions, and boom, we're good.
Oh, but call wait, I think I know where you're going, Michaela, because
get
not
on WebMD.
get on WebMD, right? All light therapy is not created the same, though.
Exactly. And so there's certain, luxes. The light itself has to be 10,000 lux. Mm-hmm. If it's not 10,000 lux, it's not helping. But the other thing to think about too and be aware of is that while it can help, it's not innocuous. So let's say, for instance, that somebody is living with undiagnosed bipolar disorder. If we use this light therapy to help with seasonal affective disorder that we have just self-diagnosed, and we have undiagnosed bipolar disorder, the light therapy can actually trigger manic episodes.
Oh, so it can exacerbate the underlying condition.
Right. So it's really important, just like with anything that's working in our bodies, to make sure that we are educating ourselves. We're learning about potential causes, right? Trying to be self-aware and understand what is going on in our world and our bodies. and then taking that as clues and going to a professional and saying, so I've heard about this. I identify with this. This feels familiar. Can we look more into this together?
8:17 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA, joined by Michaela Sanchez, Marketing and Public Relations Director, North Range Behavioral Health. So just underscores the fact that how important it is if you know that something isn't right. And I think most of us are aware, you know, I mean, we have grown more accustomed to being a little off balance over the past 19 months, to be sure. But we're all pretty good arbiters of where we are, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally. And that's why it's so important that, if you're experiencing any of the symptoms, for example, of seasonal affective disorder, or you're just a little out of sorts, that's why you need to get in touch with the good folks at North Range Behavioral Health, because you definitely are there for us, Michaela.
Yes, yes, we are. 24/7. You know, we do have, if someone is experiencing a behavioral health emergency, you can always call our crisis line. It's 970-347-2120. Or you can walk in at 928 12th Street in Greeley. If you have questions, you can also call that number, and somebody is there to at least help you find out what that next step is. We have a network of care that, you know, is so comprehensive, and there's no wrong door for anyone, and we have so many different programs that meet people where they are.
And, you know, Michaela, you and I have been talking so long. I had first come across that, rather revolutionary concept, at least to me, until I learned more about it, relative to toxic positivity, because my question was, wait, aren't we always told that we need to look on the sunny side of the street? And you and I have been talking now probably for the better part of a year about how we have to have this conversation.
Yes.
About toxic positivity, because I can't help but flip the script and say, well, okay, so does that mean there's uplifting negativity? But came across this piece that I passed along to you in the Wall Street Journal. Toxic positivity is very real and, yes, very annoying. So I'm looking forward to our conversation about that. But so happy for these timely tips to stave off the sad. So appreciate you, your colleagues, and all the work that you do, Michaela.
Well, we appreciate you too. You know, the work that you do to help people understand themselves and how they interact with the world, in the work that you do too, is so important. So thank you.
Oh, thank you for the kind words, Michaela Sanchez, Marketing and Public Relations Director, North Range Behavioral Health, and be well. 8:20 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kevin Carr with Fat Guys at the Movies, and you're listening to Mornings with Gail on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Eight 8:38 on your Tuesday morning, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA, Mornings with Gail, via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. All right, joined as we typically are this time of morning on Tuesdays by Jared File, CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager. Hey, Jared.
Well, good morning, Gail. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Having a ball as always.
Oh, good for you, living the dream.
There you go.
All right. Well, we want to get to the fact that before Old Man Winter makes his presence known throughout the state, got a lot of work going on before the cold hits. But we do have an I-25 ramp closure that we need to be aware of.
Yeah, so that'll be, we had one last night. We'll have another one tonight from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. This is that the northbound off-ramp to Harmony off I-25. The good news is that after tonight, we should be on the expanded off-ramp. So what that's going to do is that allows a lot more capacity on that ramp. Mm-hmm. So that we won't have those traffic backups like we always do at rush hour, backing up into I-25. So that should also help with our Harmony traffic lights over I-25 too. So all of that is good news and definitely needed right now.
Oh, definitely. All right. So any other road work going on? What's the progress on 34?
That's going to be another one where we're going to have some closures. Like tonight, actually every night this week, we're going to have the northbound on-ramp from eastbound 34 to I-25 is going to be closed because they're putting in the new U.S. 34 bridge pier. So it's going to be a little bit of a headache if you need to get onto I-25. Pretty much the easiest way is to either go down 287 and get over at 402 or go across 34 and go through the Shields area and get back on that way. So you do have some options, but hopefully you don't need to get onto I-25 from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. this week.
Well, that's always good news. Yeah, definitely. So let's talk a little bit about, in advance of those cold winter months, CDOT, very, very busy.
Yeah, especially with I-25, we're taking advantage of these nice nice temperatures that we're having right now and getting a lot of our concrete work done. Had a interesting call from a media representative yesterday asking about the bleep ton amount of concrete that has been laid down recently, and so did a little checking, found out we've actually put down 50,000 square yards of concrete already and that's just from 392 north. So I believe that does qualify as a bleep ton. So we'll just let that go.
We'll have to break out either the Urban Dictionary or Merriam-Webster's to see exactly what a bleep ton is.
You could insert whatever bleep you want to insert. So, that is a ton of stuff. I mean, that's 2,000 truckloads.
No, it's a bleep ton of stuff.
That's true.
So, well, and it's interesting, though, that, you did get this call from, and I say this affectionately because I am one, from one of us media morons about the fact that they're putting down all this concrete. I think that's a good thing.
No, it's fantastic. And, it made us do a little recap and kind of have to go, wow, we have. So what they're saying to me is that's about 20% of the ultimate concrete paving that we have for the entire project. So that is a lot. And a lot of that, of course, is to get those parts of the project done before, because a lot when the temperatures get too cold, we can't do concrete anymore. Mm-hmm. But by what we've been able to do, we're actually able to, they have to do the groundwork, the underneath groundwork first. And if we can get that concrete on, then we don't have to redo that groundwork next year. Because it's already been covered. So that's been the big push. That's one of the reasons they're really flying on a lot of this stuff. And it also helps us, we've been talking about a lot of these transitions to the new parts of the project. And, every time we have a traffic shift, that represents one next step closer to getting that sucker done. And so, when you start seeing all of these traffic shifts that are happening, and you're starting to see us getting into that new alignment and, driving the corridor this weekend, I realized we have so much of it that is actually in place now through that whole corridor. We've talked about 56 and that one should be open before Thanksgiving, which is going to be really awesome. But, you can start to see that final alignment like we've been talking about for so long. When early on those were just little lines on a map or dreams in an engineer's eye, and all of a sudden we're starting to see that come to fruition. And you're seeing it all the way up and down. I mean, just look at Prospect. I mean, you know, that interchange has completely changed and just looks spectacular, I think. And so those are the kinds of things that are really nice to see right now. And it's interesting time to start seeing all this, but really making that hard push before that snow comes.
How cold is too cold when it comes to laying concrete?
It kind of depends on what exactly they're doing. If they're doing it in terms of the concrete pavement or concrete pillars, each one has different temperatures that they need to be at. But, you know, once we start getting, you know, if we're going to be below zero or at least, I mean, below freezing through the entire day, that's where things really start to have a problem. The good part is they actually can keep some of it warm through the evening hours, and they actually put blankets on it, which is kind of sounds funny, but they you know, putting our road to bed every night. Keep it curing.
Gotta give it a blanket and a binky. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and just a little sip of NyQuil in there going to sleep goes fine.
Good to go.
So, yeah.
Nothing like anthropomorphizing the roads.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But it is kind of funny that they, you know, when you see them put this, you know, I mean, it really are, they are trying to keep it warm through the evening hours when it gets below 32. So, it is, interesting times to watch, but, these guys are so amazing at what they're doing, and being able to keep the traffic flow going through all of this is pretty spectacular in my mind. And the fact that we are on or ahead of schedule on almost every part of the corridor, you know, knowing this is a 4 or 5 year project, that's pretty amazing, I think.
Well, and I think it's pretty amazing that you're always up to speed, so to speak, on all of this. And thank you so much for passing all of it along, because it definitely makes a difference when we know what to expect.
Well, absolutely. And I do want to point out that, you know, you can always go to CoTrip.org or CoTrip Planner app. The other thing is on our I-25 website, on the CDOT website, if you type in North I-25, we have an interactive map, so you can see if you're going through a certain area, you can find out where the traffic impacts are going to be during next week.
Sounds like a plan. Jared Feil, CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager. Thanks so much, as always.
See you back, y'all. Have a great day.
Take good care now. 847, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA.
For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join the legendary broadcaster Jerry Schemmel this season for UNC basketball coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
K51 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA. As we jump into, albeit a bit belatedly, I concede that point, into our local news roundup, but some things that you definitely want to be aware of, as you've no doubt heard, this as that public defender takes over in the Janelle Matthews murder case, as expected, a potential retrial looms. Reading from Peace out of the Coloradoan by Aaron Udell, after his weeks-long trial resulted in that mistrial last week, the fate of the case against Steve Pankey, this is that 70-year-old Idaho man accused of kidnapping and killing Janelle Matthews in 1984, well, it remains somewhat unknown. This as yesterday, prosecutors and Pankey's new defense team discussed next steps. You had Anthony Viorst. This is the Denver attorney who represented Pankey in his recent trial. Well, he withdrew as Pankey's representation during a motions hearing just yesterday afternoon. Viorst cited his small practice and advancing age as reasons for the decision, adding that Pankey's defense will indeed be taken over by the office of the Colorado State Public Defender. Now, while Weld County DA Michael Rourke initially requested Monday the court reset for a second trial of Pankey, one of Pankey's new attorneys requested a hearing be set for later this month as he and his team worked through what he referred to as the voluminous discovery in the case before determining their stance on a new trial. The case, by the way, encompasses 24,000 pages of discovery, 425 audio recordings, and 22 days of trial transcripts, according to Weld County District Attorney Michael Rourke. Now, a hearing has been set for 1:15 p.m. November 17th, at which point prosecutors and Pankey's defense team will further discuss the possibility of a new trial and whether Weld County would be the place to conduct it. This as a public defender takes over in the Janelle Matthews murder case as that potential retrial looms. 8:54 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA. Return to normal. This as we had the opportunity, and it's a pleasure as always, to chat with Weston Edmonds, communications manager at the Weld Food Bank, as the Weld Food Bank does return with its annual Hope for the Holidays of Food Drive. And as promised, just wanted to work through some of the particulars with that, because this annual holiday food drive takes place Saturday, November 13th at several locations in Greeley, according to a piece by Ann Delaney out of the Trib. Now, the food bank has held the food drive for at least the past 25 years in conjunction with area partners, and the food bank this year is working with 42 nonprofit organizations to distribute the food. But back to the point, the drive is set for 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. this Saturday, November 13th, and know how much we appreciate your continued support of the Weld Food Bank, because your donations of food and your contributions of money make such a huge difference in the lives of so many. So the food bank will accept turkeys and food items, because again, we're kind of combining. Typically, the Weld Food Bank did two separate drives, one to collect turkeys, the other to collect all of the wonderful sides, all of the trimmings, as the case may be, that accompany not only a Thanksgiving, but a Christmas or holiday meal. So once again, if you care to contribute, and your donations are so just amazingly appreciated. Again, that drive is set for this Saturday, November 13th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the following locations: Sam's Club, 3247 23rd Avenue in Evans; Walmart Supercenter, that's 920 47th Avenue in Greeley; Safeway, 4548 Center Place Drive in Greeley; King's Supers, two locations, one at 2712 11th Avenue in Greeley; and the King's Supers Marketplace in Northgate Village. This is 6922 10th Street in Greeley. So again, other food items in need, and they're hoping to collect 4,700 turkeys for families in need. But other food items that are much appreciated: 5-pound bags of potatoes, cans of green beans, cans of soup, and boxes of stuffing. The food bank also accepts food donations and other items 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. weekdays at its warehouse. So let's make it happen, as you so consistently do in your ongoing support of the Weld Food Bank. 8:57 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show. Weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Big shout out to my tech producer, Ryan Kelly. Thank you.